This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Lady Blackbird. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at FUV. Kara, Marley Monroe, Lady Blackbird. She is already a sensation in the UK.
She's very well known over there. Yeah, it's where she really had her breakthrough because, as she says, she doesn't fit into a neat box. And things tend to be boxed a bit differently in the United States. So, she's really taken flight, not to like a bad pun, but she's really taken flight as Lady Blackbird in the UK, doing some really amazing things over there.
Yeah. Tell me about your chat with her. And we got to hear some songs live in Studio A as well.
Right. She, you know, it's interesting because she works a lot with Chris Seyfried, who is her producer and co-writer. And the two of them really stripped things down for us today in Studio A. You know, they did a set of three songs, two of which were from Slang Spirituals, which is Lady Blackbird's album of last year. And then also did a cover, which will be a surprise, from her debut album, Black Acid Soul. It was on the deluxe version. And that cover, when they did it, from La Cage aux Folles, I literally watched you melt. Megan,
I did.
You almost swooned into a little puddle of musical theater nerdom.
I did.
Yeah, which was really kind of wonderful. But basically, it's a stunning cover. Yeah. It's interesting because as an interpreter, as well as an original singer-songwriter, Lady Blackbird / Marley Monroe is a really interesting person. And I'm just excited about what comes next for her and what lies ahead. She's in the midst, as we talk today, of her first U.S. tour.
Right. So we're going to hear first one of the songs from the album. What are we going to hear first in this session?
The first song that she's going to do with Chris is Like a Woman. It is from Slang Spirituals of last year. And Envision upon her lap is Marley's dog, Reginald, who was with her the entire time, adding good backing vibes. This is FUV Live Sessions with Lady Blackbird.
When I feel that warm embrace after the kiss on your smiling face, I'm in the place where I know I can love you just like a woman. And when I make a sacrifice, big or small, I do it right. For you I've been so, you can stay and love you just like a woman, and love you just like a woman, and love you just like a woman. And when you hurt, my soul just breaks, I'll be the doctor for your deepest pain, and dry your eyes to see again, and love you just like a woman. And when the world gets hard and rough, through troubled times and deeper stuff, I'll be your station where you can lay. Love you just like a woman. Love you just like a woman. Love you just like a woman. And when our time has come and gone, you'll never know it. You'll live alone. But for you, I got a plan. love you just like a woman. From the ground below to the sun above, the darkest hour to the joy of love. Every woman and every man, all the people, they understand. From the ground below to the sun above, to the darkest hour, joy of love. From the ground below to the sun above, to the darkest hour, to the joy of love. We were not born to feel the hate till we meet there behind the gate. Oh, I will love you until the end. Love you just like a woman. I will love you just like a woman. Hey, yeah, hey. I will love you just like a woman, like a woman.
Kara Manning with FUV Live, and that was Lady Blackbird with Like a Woman, found on her mighty second album, 2024's Slang Spirituals, which follows 3 years after her 2021 debut album, Black Acid Soul. Although born in New Mexico as Marley Monroe, she has taken flight as Lady Blackbird in the UK and the States, where she's become an in-demand session singer in addition to her own solo journey. Marley has been called the Grace Jones of jazz by Giles Peterson and has, in the words of The Guardian, caught the mood of the times. All that and far more is exquisitely realized in the eclectic, shape-shifting tides of Slang Spirituals, which slips from mind-bending psychedelic jams to gospel splash piano house and straight-up folk balladry. Marley was handpicked by Chaka Khan for last year's Meltdown Festival at the South Bank Center, and she has been embraced across NPR and the BBC. Lady Blackbird / Marley Monroe is truly a force of nature, delightfully impossible to pin down, and I am so happy to welcome her to WFUV. Was that too much gushing
that
there?
That was absolutely amazing.
Marley is joined by Chris Seyfried, who is her compadre, producer, co-writer, and also by her beloved Reginald.
My son, Sir
your
Reginald.
Son. I was going to say.
My very own son.
Your son, Reginald, who is sat on your lap and is a 17-year-old Maltipoo.
Yeah. Yeah, and the best boy.
And also made his WFUV.
He really did. His debut.
Debut as on Backing Vibes.
I love it. He's a star.
He is a star, as are you a star. And Marley, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I should say that the album version of Like a Woman has kind of this primal scream piano house feel, like Screamadelica. And you may remind me of Denise Johnston, who was just this brilliant artist as well, all over that. It's a fantastic song. As a critical line, we were not born to feel the hate, and how you brought it down to its core today and the ballast of your voice. And Chris, alongside you with that, was really, truly remarkable to watch in the studio.
Thank you.
Slang Spirituals came out in September of last year. But its impact and message has really taken flight, you know, as we sit here on this late April day in 2025. What is it about this album that's really caught the zeitgeist of the moment?
This album, you know, unlike Black Acid Soul, which was mainly covers, you know, this one being originals and the theme throughout the album, the album really started with Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which was a song we had written probably 6-7 years ago, and it had gone through numerous changes and we rewrote many, many times, but the hook stayed strong. We kept the hook. So, you know, when we started this project, we brought that one back out, and, you know, the message of that and freedom. And then there were songs like Reborn. And so there was this theme of, I was finally getting to write my story. And, you know, that's what the album is about. It's about, it's about acceptance. It's about freedom. It's about, and not acceptance from other people, acceptance for yourself, you know, and being exactly who you are, and redemption. So that's the story of, you know, of Slang Spirituals. I always say it's me rewriting the book, you know, with love for all, no judgment.
The thing that I find remarkable about you is that we had been talking earlier about how I first became aware of you was through Athletes of God, which was a project that you did with Crooked Man, who, a.k.a. Parrot, who has worked a lot with Rasheen Murphy. And this was a project that the two of you had done sometime back around 2021. Yeah. And so that's where I became aware of you and was like, who is this woman with the extraordinary voice? and then, you know, and then when Black Acid Soul came out, and also your Nina Simone cover of Blackbird, which was in answer to the murder of George Floyd and the ascendance of Black Lives Matter. Why? I mean, your choice to cover Nina Simone's Blackbird and assuming that moniker of Lady Blackbird, that was really sort of a real turning point for you personally and professionally.
Well, you know, that song started the album. The name came later when the whole talk, because I had been writing with Chris for years, you know, and we had written so many different genres and styles and, you know, pieces of music that we've got a whole catalog. The Black Acid Soul project started when he asked me to demo a song called Nobody's Sweetheart that he had written, and I did. And, you know, he's like, you know, I'm playing this for people and people are paying more attention, you know, the feedback was starting to become greater than, you know, than the big overproduced, you know, pieces that we had done. So he's like, you know, maybe this is the lane for us, and we do more of a reduced project to where your voice is more front and center and people can really hear that. So that's how the whole thing started. So with that, when we started bringing songs to the table of what to cover, I'd just been such a fan of that song for so long and tried to sing it before, but it just wasn't time for it, you know. But this felt like the perfect project to really showcase what that song is and the depth of that. So I brought that song to the table first, and Chris had not heard that one yet. So we went in, we did the demo. That really was the step two to everything. And then because that really started the project, we were in the studio and it was so random. He's like, this is so great. Lady Blackbird, call yourself Lady Blackbird. I'm like, that's really cool. I'll take it.
It was really cool. And I should say that, you know, your Slang Spirituals and also Black Acid Soul producer is Chris, who is seated next to me. You have also, your background includes God's Child, Joe 90, and Low Star. And what surprised me, you work frequently with Fitz and the Tantrums as well.
Yeah.
So where did you and Marley meet? I mean, what was that first meeting of the minds here? And why do you two click in such a really profound way?
We were put together to write something, right?
Yeah, some project. I don't remember what it was for.
It was a writing project, but we just, I don't remember what the tune was like, but we clicked right away. And I was just like, wow, I really want to work with her. And so I said, hey, will you come back and we'll just write our own tune, not an assignment. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And we wrote a song that day, and it just clicked immediately, and we just kept working together. And I just wanted to digress about the George Floyd thing. That was something that just happened. You talked about zeitgeist. Blackbird came out. You're setting up a release. It was scheduled for the release. It dropped, and that thing happened at the same time. It wasn't like it wasn't a response to that moment. It just happened to hit when that hit.
So that song had been in the back of your mind, Marley, for a while. So it wasn't necessarily a response to George Floyd.
No. I'm glad you went back to that. No. Yeah. So that was just an unfortunate coincidence. You know.
Yeah. But it was funny because that people hooked on to the song as being speaking to their souls as they felt at that moment. You also did an absolutely great James Gang cover too around the same time.
It's funny you call it a James Gang cover because we were working at the time with a guy called Ross Allen in England, and we were all sort of going through lots of different songs to consider covering. And he brought that song to us, and he brought it to us as the Three Degrees version. Which, have you ever heard that?
I have, yeah.
That's a badass version. Yeah. So I heard that, and I was trying to formulate in my head, like, okay, how would this be a version you'd make at Rudy Van Gelder's studio, and John Coltrane is in the ethos, and you'd start it with a gong, you know, and then get into it. And so we were playing the first show. This was pre-COVID. We were playing the Troubadour, And a filmmaker friend of mine came over to me and he said, "What made you cover the Jamestown gang?" And I was like, we didn't. And he was like, "No collage."
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the writing credits and seeing Jay Walsh. And I was like, well, there's no way it's Jay Walsh, you know. But sure enough. And
sure enough,
yeah,
it was.
So we didn't even know that version when we cut the record. We knew the
really
Three
funny.
Degrees version.
Yeah. You know, there is on Slang Spirituals, Marley, there is an absolutely extraordinary Betty Swan by way of Tom, Bill, and Phil Hurt cover of When the Game is Played on You. That just blows my mind.
Oh,
it's like
thank
over
you.
7 minutes long.
Yeah.
It is like, it's like an acid trip. It's absolutely extraordinary. And it's sort of like, you know, there most of the songs on Slang Spirituals are original, but the choice of to lay in that one cover to take us on this odyssey right in the heart of the album, where did that come out of? Like, did you, like, because that Betty Swan song is from, like, like around 72 or 74 or thereabouts.
I think it's late 60s.
Yeah, oh, late 60s.
Yeah, and the reason why it's 7 minutes is we were trying to get a treatment in the studio. We were at East West in L.A. cutting the album.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe the last day we were there to cut Basics, and we wanted to cut it live. And so the drummer did, he played the tune through. It was like a 3-minute tune with a certain beat. And then he came up with another beat. And I was like, okay, let's drop in, finish it, and then drop it, and then start the other beat. And we'll do two versions. And then we'll sort of figure out later how to make them work.
Right.
And then it was like, yeah, you know, the way you make them work, you just let them both play.
Wow,
and it's 7 minutes long.
Wow.
I had always said, Black Acid Soul, you know, people were like, what's the second album going to be like? I was like, well, you know, it'll be more acid. And well, there you go.
Yeah. So Marley, I mean, when you sort of put your heart and your soul and like just the absolute raw energy into that a particular song like that, where are you reaching towards? Like, what do you think when you are laying down a vocal track?
I mean, the love I have for music is like a feeling like no other. So, you know, it's different. You know, it's different when you're doing a cover.
Yeah.
You know, so everything's about feeling for me. So when we're looking at doing a cover song, it's like, okay, you know, how does that make me feel? What can I bring to it? Can I bring anything to it? Or, you know, right. Is it just some things are better left untouched?
Do you avoid listening to the original as much as you can?
You know what? I guess I don't really have any particular. I mean, I'll dig into the original a bit, but then I guess I do just let it go so it doesn't inform
you
too much.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah
because I you know, you listen to it enough to get the heart of, so you know, the basic melody, and you know, and then it's like, okay, what would I have done, you know, how would I have changed it?
I'm so beguiled by your backstory. You were born in New Mexico. You sort of put so much energy. I love how you say, and you've described yourself as singing out of the womb.
Yeah.
You did what I would imagine would be thinking the right thing in the States to sort of ascend and to find your voice in your career, but you found it by being embraced by the UK.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first discovery of you, as I said to you when I met you. It was like I had originally thought you were a British artist when I first heard you, because you have done so much in the UK. I mean, from, you know, the late Queen's Jubilee concert, you did the Meltdown Festival, you've played Maida Vale, you've sold out the London Palladium. You are really embraced as, you know, passionately in the UK as you've been, even more so, fair to say, than in the States. Why did you click over there? And why do you think that you were able to find what you wanted professionally in the UK as opposed to the US?
Well, you know, I had been doing this for so long here, and people just, they weren't quite getting it or catching on, or, you know, they didn't know what to do with it, or they wanted to box it in, and they just weren't quite understanding it, you know, and they seemed to, I guess that always was the plan, to maybe start it there, because it did seem like they were catching on better there. And then, yeah, eventually that was home base. And this is actually the first time touring the States. So this is the first time we're here. So it's been from the beginning, it's been the UK and Europe, you know. And I don't know where that misstep is, you know, between people understanding it, you know, quicker here or faster or better or deeper than there. I don't know. It kind of seems to be here, like everything is a bit more boxed in, you know, not letting yourself roam a bit creatively, you know, creative freedom or whatever.
And you're genre fluid, you know? You sort of bounce around between everything. And you're very, as I said in the intro, very hard to pin down, which is what is so really exuberant and wonderful about what you do and what you've done with these two albums.
Well, they definitely understood it there, you know, better. Yeah. You know.
Did you do Strictly Come? You did Strictly Come Dancing.
I did. I did. Well, not dancing.
Oh, no, not dancing, but you performed on it. That's so fun.
Yeah, like don't let him get it twisted, think that I danced at all.
And just such an honor to be chosen by Chaka Khan as one of her curated artists. Amazing. I mean, when she rang you or her representatives rang you and said, you know, we want you on this.
To be a part of that, I mean, that's... You know, she's one of the legends that I, that's who, when I say, you know, I never had any formal training, it was just hours and hours of listening to Chaka and Gladys and these legendary and amazing artists. So they've inspired me so, so much. So to be a part of that and share the stage with it was on another level.
It's interesting because Slang Spirituals, you've described, is really the point of departure in which you can seize upon your own identity with agency and freedom. You are very open about being a queer woman and what that means. And I was really struck that in choosing your set for today, you actually reached back to a song that is on the deluxe edition of Black Acid Soul, which is a formidable cover, again, of a Jerry Herman. Now, as Chris tells it, there's a backstory to this.
Yeah.
But what is that backstory? And can you talk about this La Cage aux Folles cover?
Yeah, I was chosen to do this. Virgin Atlantic was doing this new campaign, you know, this more inclusive campaign, LGBT friendly, you know. So they had this song they wanted me to cover, and it was I Am What I Am. It was the much more up-tempo version of that. So we cut it for the commercial, and we ended up, you know, people would see the commercial and they would message me, you know, is there a full version or where can I find this? And we ended up going back into the studio and creating our own Black Acid Soul version because it was just being so well received from the commercial. And so we did that, started playing it live, and people just really... You can feel it, especially singing it live and being able to look into these people's eyes and see them accepting the words and the story. And it's like you can almost feel how they feel and know that they feel those words as well. So it's been a really vital part of the show live.
I'm Cara Manning with FUV Live, and this is Lady Blackbird with I Am What I Am.
And what I am excuses. And I know it's been hard, 'cause I've had my share of battles and bruises. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. And life's not worth a damn until you can shout, I'm what I am. Ooh, I am
FUV Live. That is Lady Blackbird joined by Chris Seyfried. And I Am What I Am. Jerry Herman wrote the music and lyrics to that. And you will find that on the deluxe version of Black Acid Soul. In some ways, do you consider Marley Monroe Slang Spirituals to be yet another debut album in a way, because of the fact that it is mostly originals, aside from the one cover that we had really talked about earlier?
Yeah, I guess in a certain way.
Yeah,
I mean, it feels like a second Lady Blackbird album, just because some of the tunes that are on it we wrote before Black Acid Soul came out.
Oh, so
it's a continuum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, you know, you talked about the fact that it's genre fluid, but we did do, like, for example, Man on a Boat or a song called Someday We'll Be Free are just tunes that are really broken down with just acoustic guitar and bass,
yeah,
which to us reflected Black Acid Soul, which was mainly piano and bass. But the same idea of being really reduced, no drums, and having the voice being the thing that you can really follow and hear.
And to say that, Marley, you have an exceptional voice. And when you were growing up as a child, who, you know, you had mentioned, we were talking about Chaka Khan early and some other folks, but who were you, who was a catalyst for you in terms of watching someone perform and saying, I would want to do that?
Them, Chaka. Yeah. I would watch Gladys. I would watch Whitney. You know, I would listen to Stevie and Donny Hathaway's tone, and, you know, all of these incredible, incredible people. And it's like, wow, yeah, I want to be there. Yeah.
And you had started in Christian music originally.
Yeah.
Not a good fit.
Not a good fit at all.
Not a good fit. why was that? Just, you needed to extract yourself out of that particular wetsuit of Christian music.
Wetsuit. That's very, very valid.
What was the decision to say, yeah, this is, I need to be myself and be honest about who I am. And this particular genre may not accept that.
Yeah, you know, it's like I always say, you know, you grow up, parents, you go where they take you. They take you to church at 2, you go to church at 2.
Right.
You know, and so some of those beliefs that you just grow to think you are, you know, because you were kind of told and brought up that way. And then you reach that age to where you start, you know, it starts maybe feeling funny or not really settling, you know, or you start asking, well, why do I, or do I, you know, and then you start realizing maybe that, you know, the answers back are, no, I actually don't, you know, maybe I don't believe that way, or maybe I do believe this way, and it's okay. And once that happened for me, then that was the turning point of, you know, I can't continue to do this and be honest, you know. And then it was more about, then it became more about the honesty of who I am versus just the, you know, singing or making music, you know. Then it all kind of became one. And that's when it was like, okay, let's, you know, let's make some changes. And that really wasn't for me at all.
And you know, you've become very much an LGBTQ plus icon. And so you have.
That's a huge
and
word.
When you look at, you know, for example, the recent decision of the Supreme Court in Scotland regarding trans individuals in the trans community, and the United States' current administration, which is sort of actively isolating the trans or the intersex community, that makes your work more potent. And I guess your own awareness of how to be able to find inclusion within those communities.
Yeah. And I think like you said in the beginning, you know, why Slang Spirituals is really resonating, you know, it is because of these times that we're in and what that message is, because it is such a fight. Time we're in is so horrific, you know, and the fight is real, but so is that message. And we just keep pushing, you know.
I had interviewed Lauren Maybury a few weeks back, and I'll ask you something that I had asked her as well, is what is the challenge of writing a song that might be spun out of anger or injustice or that feeling? Do you need that sense of anger to dissipate before you can write those lyrics, or do you sort of actively throw yourself in that tempest of the feeling?
Yeah, I don't necessarily need it to happen personally, because you can look around and see, and whether it be you personally or somebody you know, or, you know, certain people on the news or what they might be, you know, just the state of what everything is. And then it comes from there. Like I said, it's that feeling, you know. So even writing the album, it's like, didn't necessarily know it was going to be so personal and so vulnerable, but it went that direction. You know, who knows what the next one will be? Maybe it'll be more vibrant and happy. I don't know, you know, but.
Did you feel sad in recording this album? Because it didn't feel like a sad album.
Not sad. No, not sad at all, because the message is not sad. It's very opposite.
That's what I thought.
It's very opposite of sad, but it was still vulnerable in terms of sharing your story and it being so personal, you know. So absolutely not sad. I would say, if anything, stronger to be able to do that and to share that. And that's why I think everything happening now versus, I've been doing this for so long and it wasn't catching on, you know, but I don't know how much of this personal story would have come out then, or if it ever would have. So all in good time.
How is Lady Blackbird then, and how is Lady Blackbird and Marley Monroe different?
Lady Blackbird loves to be on the stage in all of her flamboyant costumes, and Marley Monroe doesn't like to step out of her house shoes and just like to be home, Netflix and chilling and drinking wine.
I should add that your luggage has also been lost here in New York.
I'm piecemealing it in.
You are absolutely clad in borrowed clothing right now, and I just feel for you. And Reginald is naked.
Reginald's naked. Yeah.
Yeah. And Chris, how have you seen Marley change over these last handful of years? In finding her confidence and being able to tell her story.
I think it's that exactly, because when we first started, we were just sort of writing tunes, you know, ambiguously in terms of lyrical subject matter. And when we started to write this record, what happened, you know, I told you we wrote a few songs before, you know, before the first album had come out, one song called Someday We'll Be Free. And what we did, because at that time, this was pre-COVID, I had my studio and we were recording the demos and filming some of the stuff. That particular tune, while it was being written, and it was this very personal story about the older person speaking to the younger person, saying, you know, someday you're going to be free and someday this is all going to happen for you, which is what the song is about. And so she was kind of crying while we were demoing the tune. And it was, when you asked the question about being sad, she was crying while we were, and it was just, again, just acoustic guitar and voice. And when we went to re-record the song at East West, I was like, let's put up the demo. And we put the demo up, and it was just so potent because it was the moment it had been written. And it just had all that emotional impact in it that you couldn't replace. So the version on the album is actually the demo that we just added acoustic bass to at East West. And in fact, there's, on her IG page, like, there's actually filmed, she's reading it off her phone, singing, that's the record. So long answer, it's like, in the beginning, we were just writing tunes. And when we went to write Slang Spirituals, and I think that song, Someday We'll Be Free, was like the first. It was like, no, this is your personal story, and let's keep mining that. You know, let's keep mining those. Whatever, even if we had a great hook, like with Reborn, it was like, oh, no, this works right into it, and now let's make it, let's figure out the personal part of it. And we'd also just written, to go back to Someday We'll Be Free, we wrote Man on a Boat and No One Can Love Me Like You Do all in the same day.
And whatever his name.
And whatever his
right,
name, yeah.
Right. You know, there's so many songs on here that are just stunning. A Matter of Time, In the City, Reborn, which you had just mentioned, Chris. There is this obvious reverence for like a late 60s, early 70s sound, yet you somehow bring that very much in the present. You can hear, like, you have had amazing remixes done of your prior songs. Yeah. You know, like, there is just a like an opening to everything that you do for life for a lot of your songs. However, taking a step back, two of the loveliest and gentlest songs on this album are Someday We'll Be Free and Man on a Boat. And you're going to play the latter today with Chris. There's a lyrical Man on the Boat that I want to read. Hey, I just began to see the woman that I've always meant to be. Now, do you feel that you have achieved that as we sit here today on a beautiful spring day? Are you really glad about where you are now? And how are you looking at that next chapter?
Yeah, I mean, I've achieved steps of that, you know, and it's a continuous growth, you know, because I'll be different tomorrow and next week and continuously growing and changing, you know. So I've definitely reached a certain level of that I'm very happy with.
It's been a long road.
It's been a long road.
And you have fought like hell to get to this place.
It has been a long road.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But all part of, the, you know, your story, all part of the journey. And
did you ever think you would give up?
I can't do anything else. There was no plan B.
There was no plan B.
There was no plan
That's
B.
Great.
And there was definitely times, you know, to where I would definitely be down and wondering, will it happen?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, there was no plan B.
You have created two just stunning albums.
Thank you.
Over the last 5 years, and really excited to see what happens next.
Thank you.
And Man on a Boat, what do you love about this song?
That was part of the ones that we had written, like we said earlier, before Black Acid Soul was released. So, you know, those songs are very special because, you know, as I was so excited to release Black Acid Soul, it's like we kept writing these songs that were just like, oh my God, I couldn't wait to share those as well. It's like, you know, slow down, one album at a time.
Lady Blackbird, Chris Seyfried, this is Man on a Boat on FUV Live. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you know I've been thinking about trying to find a way to figure it out. I'll come clean, wash me like never before. There's a river just outside my door. I want to like a man on a boat. Just like a man on a boat. Hey, I've just begun to see the woman that I've always meant to be. As I fall back
let me go to the river just outside my door. I want to like a man on a boat. Freedom, 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 freedom. Wash me like never before. There's a river just outside my door. I want to fall like the rain and die once again. I want to roar like the wind and get high once again. I will flow just like a man on a boat. Just like a man on a boat. Just like a man on a boat. Just like a man on a boat, I will flow. Just like a man on a boat.
That was Lady Blackbird performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Marley Monroe, who is Lady Blackbird, and Chris Seafried for joining us in the studio, and as well to BMG. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Julia Malling, and James Higgins. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Diana Juarez and Liv Grant. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday. If you like what you hear, be sure to rate and review the show. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and producer for this episode, Kara Manning.